when I'm faced with something, I try not to postpone it and avoid it. You just have to take on the challenge.
My name is Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
Welcome back to the Women Tech Podcast. I am still in Reykjavik, Iceland. So excited to be meeting incredible women in tech. As you know, this is Esprit Devora, and I am here with Sandra. Sandra, go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what you do and blow everyone's mind like you've blown mine.
So my name is Sandra Mjöll Jónsdóttir-Bukk. I'm an Icelandic, normal Icelandic woman, a busy woman. I am a biomedical scientist. Just wrapping up my PhD in biomedical sciences as we speak, with emphasis on molecular life sciences. And I'm an adjunct professor at the Icelandic University, where I teach human genetics. And most recently, I founded a biotech company called Playdom Biotechnology, where we make nutrition for stem cells using expired platelets from blood banks.
How do you go about doing that?
So development of biotech products takes often a very long time. It takes much longer time than developing some software often. And we'd been working on this kind of research for a very long time, few years, when people actually started to be interested in buying our stuff and were asking us about, like, hey, where can I obtain your things, what you're making? And then we started, okay, maybe instead of giving it away, as scientists often do, we thought about it in business terms and started a business. So we work in tissue engineering and regenerative medicine, mostly. You know, when you are trying to put together a stem cell therapy or bring some tissue engineering product to a market, you often have to work with cells, and you feed these cells with animal serum. And we thought to ourselves, okay, maybe the animal serum isn't the best thing to use. So how can we get rid of that? And we start to work with expired platelets from the blood bank, and we were able to make human-based nutrition for the cells. So whenever it comes time to translating stem cell research into stem cell therapies, you don't have to use animal components. You can use something that the body is familiar with. And we thought that was a great idea, and other people think so too.
My mind is blown. It's like something out of a sci-fi movie. Your talents are literally changing the world. It's changing how medicine operates. It's probably changing our food. It's changing how, what are you impacting? Like, what are all the industries that you're impacting by doing what you do?
So of course we are at the research level as it is, but of course the aim is to make our products a clinical product so you can actually use them along with other therapies other companies are making. So this may sound as a sci-fi to you, but for a scientist who is working in the field, it does not. It just sounds rather basic. I mean, we need nutrition for the cells, and it needs to be high quality so we can actually offer this to people. Mm-hmm. And there are so many scientists, so many groups, so many companies around the world working on something similar to this and trying to bring it forward, even though it isn't, the public may not be aware of it. And it will emerge in a few years. And then we will be there providing high quality nutrition to make it safe for patients.
And now you're the co-founder, is that right?
I'm the co-founder, yes.
And you went through an accelerator.
Yes.
What accelerator did you go through, and what was the process in doing that? Actually, for those of you who don't know, what is an accelerator?
So an accelerator is kind of like a business boot camp. And we went through Start Reykjavik Business Accelerator. It was an immensely helpful program. And it was just 10 weeks of intense business development, both for beginners and advanced, because we had some people at advanced in business, but, you know, still. So we were supplied offices and everything you need, and access to a lot of mentors, like influential people, at least in the Icelandic society, who have been so helpful to point out flaws in your business plan and how to correct them, and introducing you to new people, and also giving you access to funding.
What is the application process for the accelerator here? Was it difficult, or was there a huge waiting list, or?
So they just open up the application and you can just apply through their website. They will give you information how to do that. And then just fill in the application. It has to be, what is your idea? What's the problem you're trying to solve? How will you solve it? What's your business plan like? Who's on your team? And things about your team, because the team is, of course, fundamental to a success of the idea. And then you just submit and hope for the best.
And how many people are on your team?
When we applied for the Startup Reykjavik, we were 2 on the team, but now we are 6. And that has all happened within a year.
Incredible. With money raised.
Yeah, we raised some money, yes.
And you guys will include Startup Reykjavik in the show notes, so those of you in Iceland could explore it further. And what are the talents of the people on your team?
We are doing a lot of development at the moment. So we are a team of scientists, but we have a very strong advisory board where we have brought in talents that have more business development and marketing and all that. We have so many great people helping us out in the back. We're not exactly part of the team, but more on the advisory board.
And what would you say one of your biggest challenges has been in being a founder?
My background has absolutely been challenging, because I have learned a lot of science. I haven't learned any business. And all the business knowledge about funding a company has just come in the process, and that has been a big challenge. I have spent so many hours reading on and just trying to translate some business words. I would say that has been a main challenge. And then it's just part of the process, how to get around application, how do you find a company, how do you file for patents, how do you do all this stuff. And that's where I think the network comes is very strong. You need to have a strong network that will help you out.
What's one way you'd say that you overcome challenges? Because I know you said that for scientists, it's like basic and elementary, but you did say you had a huge learning curve with business. So how do you overcome challenges? How, when you're faced with something?
Yeah, well, when I'm faced with something, I try not to postpone it and avoid it. You just have to take on the challenge. And instead of thinking about the whole challenge at once, I break it down into smaller challenges, so milestones or metrics on the way. And I just focus on getting to each milestone as I go. And if I see that I can't reach that milestone, I will ask for help. And that's one big thing to learn, and many people just don't want to do, is you have to learn how to ask for help and acknowledge that you may not be the smartest person to deal with exactly that challenge. You may need some help. And it's just going to accelerate the process a lot.
Yeah, I agree. And I think sometimes we think that asking for help looks weak, and when it's a strength.
Yes.
It's a total strength. And but I understand like both viewpoints, but I 100% agree with that. What's next for you? Like, where do you want to go from here?
Well, of course, I want to finish my PhD degree as soon as possible, so I just can keep on running my company and building it up and take it outside Iceland. We are a believer, a born global company, and we will be dealing worldwide. And I think it's just this, things are happening so fast, and we have seen so many successes in the past year. And I think it's really important that I follow that and I follow my dream and see it come true.
What's one thing we could do as a community to support you to bring your company out of Iceland and target the bigger demographics, like the states? What can we do?
You need to support each other and share good news of each other. And yeah.
Well, we'll be, the Women in Tech show will definitely be tweeting you out and posting what you do on Facebook. But definitely, I want you guys to feel free to connect with Sandra to make sure that she has the support, because what she's doing is just absolutely incredible. How can people connect with you and get in touch?
Best to send me emails. I read my emails frequently.
What's your email?
Sandra@playtom.com.
And if you could spell it just one more time, the company name?
The company name.
Yeah.
PlateOme.
And it's Sandra, your name,
yes.
Right? Yeah. @playtom.com. Thank you so much for spending your time with the Women in Tech podcast.
Thanks for having me.
You're really just like, to know now that you started with like a literary interest and horrible at math, and you're like, and you just went after it and totally pivoted, and now you're a scientist. It's like,
yeah,
really inspiring.
Well, it's not because, oh, she's a scientist because she's so good at science. It's because I studied really hard. And then I'm not smarter than anybody else, and I'm not born with some set of skills. I can do anything I want if I pay my attention to it. And I think that's key. I'm not necessarily being smart, but being hardworking and determined to not give up. And that has always been, in everything I do, I work hard and usually have very good rewards.
Thank you so much for spending your time with the Women in Tech podcast. You're so inspiring. And thank you for being like the first time on a podcast with us. Like,
no, thanks. It's been an interesting journey.
Indeed. And you guys know, to connect with more incredible women in tech, just go to the Women in Tech Facebook group at womenintechvip.com. That's womenintechvip.com. And you can always feel free to tweet at me at Esprit Devora or at Women in Tech Show. I will see you guys, talk to you guys, hear you guys in the next episode. Bye.
This episode of the Women in Tech Show is powered by UpGuard. UpGuard's discovery engine brings visibility to complex IT environments, enabling teams to quickly identify risk, confirm compliance, and make business safer. They are proud supporters and employers of incredible women in tech. To be notified every time a new Women in Tech episode is released, simply text Women in Tech to 310-872-2423. That's 310-872-2423. To support the Women in Tech Show, it's super easy. All you need to do is start doing your Amazon shopping by clicking on this link first, womenintechshow.com/Amazon. That's womenintechshow.com/Amazon. The Women in Tech Show is hosted by Esprit Devora, edited by MKW Films, show notes provided by Carl Marty, music by Jay Huffman Live. The Women in Tech Show is a WeAreTech.fm production.